We're so grateful for His amazing, amazing, amazing love for us. As Daniel was praying a few moments ago, it put me in mind of a verse that certainly sums up what our mindset should be in these days when the world seems to be in chaos and craziness, if not one thing, another. And right now it happens to be this crazy virus. Whatever the reality of that thing is, we know what the Bible says. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." A spirit of, the idea of the words, a spirit of fearfulness. Last I checked, God's still on His throne.
Amen.
God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Isn't that what we need in these days? A soundness from God, a wisdom from God. And of course, we do want to apply good wisdom in our lives and trust that the Lord will indeed enable us to do just that. And as the scriptures also say, this too will pass. Yeah. You can be turning this morning to Matthew chapter 28. Why should we go to the lost? Why should we go to the lost? I guess my mind has been on things of evangelism and in general way, missions, since preaching a missions conference a couple weeks ago, but always our hearts and minds should be concerned about those that are perishing, should we not? You know these verses. Please stand with me one more time in reverence to the Word of God. We'll read those three verses, commonly known as the Great Commission, but we'll be looking at many other passages of Scripture today as well. Jesus is preparing to return to glory, and He says to His followers, to those who were His disciples, "Are you a disciple of Christ?" Yes. Then I would assume He was saying this to us as well. Yes. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Father, we do pray in that name, that most powerful name, the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're asking you, Father, to focus our attention, arrest our attention to your word, to what you would be saying to us in this hour. Lord, help us to put the cares of life, the cares of this world aside, and give our ears and our hearts to you. Speak, Lord, speak to everyone present, whether it be to the preacher, to the pew, to the saved, to the lost. Might we all hear from our God in this hour. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Preachers. Preachers are continually preaching about how important it is for us to go. To go to the lost with the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I often ask myself the question, and I'm asking myself this question, why are there so few of us going? Why are there so few of us going? Why is there so little going on? Maybe I'm being cynical or critical. I don't want to be. Certainly not my intention to be critical, but maybe we're confused about the instructions. I know that's a complicated word, the word go. Go. There doesn't seem to be much about that word that you would think would confuse us. It's one of the very first words that we add to our vocabulary as children. If it's not a word that we use as a child, it's certainly a word that little children hear quite often. Go, 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 do this or do that. Is it possible, though, maybe, Is it possible that the instructions to go are not clear? Again, the word go seems to be a rather simple black and white word in its meaning. We either will go or we won't go. We either do or we don't. It's not something that I would say is one of those gray issues that we have to wax philosophical about to try to figure out and to understand. We are what? Simply told to go. Amen. To go. Well, maybe then we don't understand the why. The why we should go to the lost with the gospel. And we're going to spend a little time this morning looking at three reasons why we should go. Maybe there may be far more than that, but you probably want me to finish sometime today. So we'll look at just three. And this first is not necessarily or in any way the main or the primary, but it's certainly a good reason. And that reason is that we should go. Because it is indeed the Lord's command. Amen. It is God's command to us. Well, what does that mean to us? What does that mean? I guess it's part of our human nature. When we're told to do something, we just seem to want to arch up about it. Tell a teenager to do something. Sorry, teens. You're the closest ones to me. We just seem to rebel when we are told to do something. Is there any question? Is there any question that the Lord has commanded us to go? What does the Bible say? Well, we just read one passage. We just read there in Matthew 28, verse 19, where the simple instructions, go ye therefore. Go ye therefore and teach, or the idea, make disciples of all nations. See, folks, go with the purpose of seeing folks saved. Well, let's look at this. That's not the only place the Bible talks about this. That's Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Mark 16, verse 15. He, Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. To who? Every creature. To every creature. An interesting one we find in Luke chapter 14. There in Luke 14, we read in verses 21 first. It says, and the setting is someone came to the Lord Jesus Christ talking and rejoicing about that day when we'll sit with the Lord in glory in that eternal home. And the Lord Jesus Christ had that response where he told them, he gave the story of that man that gave the great feast and invited those to come, and those that were invited didn't show up. And so he instructed his servant in verse 21. He says, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. Go to the city, go to the very streets of the city, go to those who aren't able to get here maybe on their own, but go. In verse 23 of that same passage, when the house still wasn't full, that Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That my house may be filled. Where were they to go? They were to go to the city, the streets, but also to the country, the highway and the hedges. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, a more familiar passage. The instruction there, again from the Lord Jesus Christ, to go that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Amen. We're not done yet. One more in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8. were there. Again, the last words from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ before he returned to his place at the right hand of the Father. He said, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem," your hometown, "and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." All four Gospels and the book of Acts give us instruction in this matter to go. That's a lot of scripture telling us to go to this lost world with the message of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's our task. That's our target, to take the gospel to a lost and a dying world. Amen. Of our Savior's sacrifice for our sins. Well, where does God expect us to go? We just read this. Where does God expect us to go? Well, we find from those passages that we just read that God expects us to begin where? Right home. Right at home. At our own home, and to go to the world. To go to the world. The example. Examples in the Bible are important. What is written, as I share with my Sunday school class, is obvious to us. But biblical example is also important. Biblical example. And the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in both the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul was that they went to people where? Just about everywhere. They went to them in public places, but they also went to people in private places. In private places, they witnessed and preached out in the open, whether it be by the seaside, maybe in the temple, and of course in the synagogues. We find them all in the synagogues as well. But all three were also found sharing the gospel message in people's homes. Interesting that they went to people's homes. Is there any question, beloved? Is there any question in our hearts that we are to obey our Lord's commands? I think not. Our obedience to him is a manifestation. It's a revelation of our love for him. Amen. Did we hear that? Our obedience is a declaration. It's a revelation of our love for him. And Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. Look with me, if you would. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter here. I'm wondering, why didn't that line up with my notes? In John chapter 14 and verse 21, it says this, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." What a statement. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then he repeats that. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Pretty obvious, isn't it? Our carrying out, our taking heed, giving heed to his commandments is a declaration. I love you, Lord. I love you, my Savior. Well, we see this. There's no question. But we also see, secondly, this morning, why we should go. We go because of the Lord's power. Because of our Lord's power. We read those verses from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, where it says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Verse 19 then goes on to say, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. These words, those verses from the last part of Matthew 28, 18 and the first part of 28, 19 are what spurred this message. We have power, beloved. We have authority, but I'm getting ahead of myself. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, listen to those words. We're familiar with them. But listen to them this way. Jesus says, speaking to his disciples, But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And what are we to do with that power? And ye shall be witnesses. Notice the connection? And ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And of course, in Jerusalem, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? Why obey the Lord's command to go ye? Why? Wow. Because of this therefore. Because of this word therefore. The idea is of that word is because. Because of this. Because go because of this. Well, because of what, preacher? Because Jesus has been given all power in heaven and in earth. Because of the fact that Jesus Christ has been given how much? All power. Amen. Not just power. Not just power. Not just some power. Jesus Christ has been given all power. Now get it? Let me say it one more time so we don't miss it. All power has been given to him. Amen. Therefore, we should go. But it doesn't stop there. In Acts chapter 1, well, let me back up. The idea of that word power in the verse there in Matthew 28, in this verse, it has the idea of the power of authority. The power of authority. It is the type of authority, the type of power that a ruler has. Not in the same sense as a president, although we understand that presidents certainly have power. President of the United States, regardless of who he is or what party he's a member of, is always considered the most powerful man on the planet. You can take that and do with it what you please. But a ruler has authority. He has power. He has authority. Now, I'll say it this way. Hopefully, I can explain. He has power or authority of choice. He makes choices. He makes decisions, as has been going on over in a great extent this very week. And so many decisions, even from our president, have been made. So we get the illustration. A ruler has the power of choice. Jesus Christ has been given full freedom of authority. Full freedom of authority to accomplish his commission. That authority, that power that's given to him is connected directly to the great commission that we've been given. By who? By him. Amen. By him. Oh, yes. And his commission. He has that authority to accomplish his commission. He is in charge. He's in charge. And he said what? Go. Go. And we see as well, not only has Jesus been given all authority or all power, it's interesting that he has been pleased to give us power. Jesus has given us power to witness for him. We've read a few moments ago in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, what does it say, beloved? Ye shall be witnesses, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. That word for power there is a different word. It's interesting. God, the Holy Spirit, is pleased to use a different word translated power, authority in Matthew 28 than he uses here in Acts chapter 1. The word for power here is the Greek word dunamis. 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 Does that sound familiar at all? It's the word we get our English word dynamite from. Dynamite. Now store that away for just a second. According to Strong's Bible Dictionary, it refers to miraculous power. You following me? It refers to miraculous power. It has to do, in this case, with that supernatural power of God placed in and working through Christians. It's given to us. Ye shall receive power, Jesus said. Again, we shared, we get that word dynamite from that Greek word. A stick of dynamite. I'm sure you're thankful I didn't bring any dynamite with me here this morning. But a stick of dynamite, of course, it has deposited in it, placed within it, power. A stick of dynamite has inherent power. Means there's power in it. And what do we read here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? We've been given an inherent and supernatural power. Amen. It's important as we go along here. Wow. How do we know that this power has been given to us? Well, look with me, if you would, there in that book of Acts in chapter 2. How do we know that we have that power? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. That word that Jesus had given to his disciples at the end of the book of Acts, and then earlier in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is now fulfilled. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." Now listen. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues," other languages, "as the Spirit," capital S, Holy Spirit, "gave them utterance." The day of Pentecost, that power was given in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, preacher, well, when do we receive this power? When do we receive this power that you're talking about? After we've been saved for years and years, maybe then? Maybe after we've gone to Bible college or seminary, then maybe we're ready to receive that power. Maybe. Young people, maybe when you get to a certain age, then you get that power. No. No. We receive the power, the strength, the ability to witness unto the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit of God the moment God saves us. You say, well, what do you know about witnessing then? Well, you know what God did. If he saved you, you know he did something. You got something to share. God did for me. Huh? Isn't that a beautiful thing? The moment you got saved, God filled you with his Spirit. Romans chapter 8 makes that clear. Well, let me ask you a question. Can I legitimately say, well, I just can't witness? I can't go. I can't witness. That's not a legitimate answer. Huh? God has enabled us. He saved us. He's given us his message, and he's given us the power to take that message into this world with. But then thirdly, we go because of God's purpose. We go because of the Lord's purpose. It's his purpose. Our God has laid out his plan and his purpose. And he sent his Son. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what happened to Jim Turner in December 1974. God was pleased to come my way, intervene in my life. Huh? and save me. Indeed, we ought to bless His holy name. The Lord's purpose. What's the Lord's purpose? The Lord's purpose is to save sinners. That's what it's all about. It's what it's all about. It's why He leaves us here to live and breathe. It's for Him. For His glory. That He'd add to the kingdom. That His house would be full. We get that message. Would we get that message? The Lord's purpose is to save sinners. Listen to this. I love the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 verses 31 and 32. I pray that the Lord would help us just to soak these scriptures in. Jesus answered, said unto them. Listen. Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Let those words say again. There's such a scare right now, and legitimate or illegitimate, there's a real scare in our country and in the world. This horrible virus. We grieve every individual that has died of this virus. But those that are healthy don't need a doctor. Those that aren't sick don't need a doctor. Those that are sick need that doctor. Jesus says this in verse 32. As He likens why He came. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. To sinners to repentance. What's He saying? He's referring, He's likening that to those who don't realize they're even in need. To those that aren't aware of their condition. Every person born into this world has the disease of sin and needs the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But then, later in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 15, there seems to be a passion here. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus asks a question. He says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? It's hard for me to get past that. Every one of us was one of those lost sheep. Every single child of God in this room today was one of those lost that Jesus went after. Beloved, aren't you thankful that He sought you till He found you? Huh? It's not like me that along the way we witness to someone, this loved one, this friend, this relative, and I don't know if they'll ever get saved. Huh? But no, He sought us till He found us. Passage goes on. Until He find it, that lost sheep. Verse 5. Notice, and when He hath found it, He layeth it upon His shoulders, rejoicing. Huh, isn't that beautiful? He layeth it upon His shoulders, rejoicing. And when He cometh home, He calleth together His friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And then Jesus brings the point. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Uh-huh. over one sinner repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Huh? Think about it. Consider it. That day I mentioned, December 1974, I don't even remember what day of the month it was, but I sure remember it, as I'm sure you do. That night, when I asked, I sought the Lord's forgiveness of my sin, and He saved me. We didn't hear it. We weren't aware of it. At that time, I had no clue about it. At that moment when you were saved, there were angels in glory rejoicing. Isn't that wonderful? Over one. So that tells me that if heaven rejoices over one, heaven rejoices over everyone that is saved. That's saved. What a passion, isn't it? The Lord's passion for lost souls, for lost sinners. How do we feel about lost folks? You know, I have to check myself. You know, I went to Walmart the other day, and they're talking about toilet paper, and everybody should get toilet paper. I was down there for something else, but I turned down that aisle to look, and from here to there, there wasn't a roll of toilet paper on the shelf. What's the matter with these stupid people? What's the matter with them? Of course, I was going to pick up some too. There wasn't any to be had. Oh, Lord, help me to have a passion, a love, a concern for the lost. Yes, sir. Those that are perishing from this earth planet. God, please give us Your passion for perishing souls. Beloved, it was that passion that took the Lord Jesus Christ to Calvary. To Calvary. And immediately when I was thinking about that the other day in my studies, I considered Hebrews chapter 12. Would you look with me at that? And we're nearly done. Hebrews chapter 12. In those first few verses there. The Hebrew writer, and I believe that it's the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And he writes and he says, wherefore, seeing, and again this comes on the heels of chapter 11, right? What is often called that faith hall of fame. Many, many faithful servants of the Lord. Paul goes on, he writes, wherefore, because of all this, in light of these, seeing, we are also compassed about. Means we're surrounded. Surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. A great cloud or a multitude of witnesses. With so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. Let us run with patience, that endurance, that heart that will not quit. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2 says this, looking unto. Where are you looking? Crazy days indeed, aren't they? We're looking everywhere. We're hearing this report, that report. We're looking, trying to get this news on you name it. Looking unto. And the idea of the words is always focusing. Always focusing on Jesus, the author and finisher. Beloved, it was Jesus that started it in my life. And I'm resting in Him to finish it. Amen. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. Endured or suffered the cross, despising the shame. Despising the shame. And again, he didn't even consider the disgrace it was to be put to death on that hideous cross. Despising the shame. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And again, that little word for. Because of what we've just read. Because of what Jesus did for us. Because of what he endured or suffered for us. For because of this, consider, take note of, realize him, Jesus, that endured, listen to these words, that endured or suffered such contradiction of sinners. Huh? Oh my. Such contradiction or opposition of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Huh? We're still surrounded with a multitude of witnesses. We open our Bible and we read of those witnesses. We look around us, we study Christian history, study the history of the church, and the multitude, the innumerable witnesses have gone before us. They testify to us today. When's it time to quit? I don't know where I first heard it, some preacher, some evangelist. It's always too soon to quit. It's always too soon to quit in our service for Christ. Jesus Christ, listen, Jesus Christ paid in full, completely, the price tag of our sin. Huh? Paid it all. Paid it all at Calvary. And today, as we're here, he has given us not a victory, a partial victory, sort of a victory. He has given us the complete and total victory over our sin. Huh? We're victorious. We cannot lose. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the grave. God the Father has given his Son, Jesus Christ, how much power? All power. Where? In heaven and in earth. Right here. Right here. He has complete authority and power to accomplish his purposes. His purposes is what? To take the message about him to this world. Why go? That ought to be good enough reason. Plenty of reason to go. And we see as we close that he's purposed to use us. It always just amazes me. Why would he trust this purpose to us? Certainly me. Why? The Lord's purpose is to use us. What did we read over and over? Go ye. Go ye, so send I you. Ye shall be witnesses. His followers, you and I, Christians, based, beloved, on his authority, based on his power, he's told us to go. He's told us to go. And do what, dear ones, man, I'm so thankful we don't go on our own strength. Remember what we said earlier about that word in Acts? It has the idea of that inerrant power. It's a supernatural power, a miraculous power. So we must never go in the power or the strength of the flesh. Huh? I've been there. Maybe you have, trying to witness to somebody and it's all flesh. The Holy Spirit wasn't anywhere around in it because I was trying to do it in my own ability, my own reasoning, rather than leaning and depending on the Spirit of God to accomplish the purposes that He has ordained to accomplish. Wow, how silly to try to do it in our own strength. Wow. We go, beloved, in the power and in the strength of the Holy Spirit of God into the authority of the Son of God. Huh? Sounds like God's gonna prosper His purpose. I couldn't hardly say that. The question comes back to me. Why don't we go like we ought to go? Why don't we go? Especially when we really have no reason. Can I say it? We have no excuse to not go. Not to go. My prayer, God help us to just obey Him. Notice I said us. God help us to obey Him and go. And Lord, help us to go in Your power. In Your authority. We can join it. Lord, help us to enter in to Your purposes. See what He would do. And I just want to close with this. I never want to take for granted who's listening. Whether it be here present in the auditorium, maybe on the stream this morning. I want to close with this. If you hear these words and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you don't know where you'll spend eternity. You don't know Him. I'm so thankful to be able to tell you, according to the Scriptures, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Jesus laid down His life for you to pay the price of your sin. And in Christ, with Christ as your Savior, your sins are not just in part, but completely, completely paid for, cleansed, made clean in the blood of the Lamb. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bow before You. Lord, I pray that we would never, ever take Your presence for granted. And so, Father, I know that You've been here in our midst. I pray that Your Holy Spirit, as He broods in this auditorium, would be free to deal with our hearts, every heart, starting right here. Father, please help us as Christians. Help this Christian to go. Go with that soul-saving, life-changing, and giving message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we cast aside every excuse, every reason that the Satan might give us to raise up to not go. We go in the confidence, the assurance, but also with the liberty and direction of the Holy Spirit of God bearing the message of the gospel and what You did for us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. And I do pray there may well be someone sitting in this room at this very moment that does not have that confidence or peace that they know You, that they know that they are saved. Saved from their sin. Saved and forgiven. Lord, I pray. Lord, would You take up where this preacher fails? Show them Jesus. Manifest that beautiful, wonderful love of yours to them. Lord, please, even today, draw savingly, graciously, beautifully to yourself. And we will, Father, be quick to give you all the glory and the praise and the honor. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And amen, Brother John. Of course, these altars are open. You can join these ones in praying. It could be you're here this morning and there's some question, some doubt that you're saved, that you know Jesus. Do our very best, dear ones. Take the Word of God and point you to the Savior, the one who died for you. As we sing, please obey the Lord.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever
let's just go. Amen. So grateful, so thankful for the Lord's done in my life. Amen. So thankful. Well, it's crazy days. Put those signs on the doors this morning, and I was telling somebody, I walked in the door with those signs in my hand, walked straight over to Mark Davison and shook his hand. And so I've been walking around like this the rest of the day, trying to keep my hands laced behind me to remind me. And again, we just want to use wisdom, beloved. We're not afraid. God has not given us that spirit of fear, but he has given us a sound mind. And so we want to be wise as well, the balance and all that. So please, we like to shake hands and hug necks around here, and we'll post that. We'll just make up for it when this is all over. How's that sound? Amen. Amen. Brother John, come.
Take my life and let it be. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. You're dismissed.